down in such defeat. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your to God we now repent. For the years of work we might have done, that's already now been spent. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. And needs Jesus now. If he's confined within the church, its walls will crumble down. We must awake, we must arise for his kingdom to secure. We know the battle has been won. Yes, the victory is sure. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Now don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. Lesson to be learned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee Time here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We are coming to you live this morning. It is August 24th, 2024, and we welcome you folks out there. And I'll bring the men on here in just a minute. Got a lot of stuff to talk about this morning. And good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
And thank you, men, for being here this morning. Paul, why don't you start us off with a word of prayer this morning?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to go across the nation with the gospel, Lord, the good news of Jesus Christ, that you are on the throne and you are in control, Lord. And as we look at it, the things around us, it seems kind of dismal, but we're looking at the Red Sea, Lord, and we are expecting you to deliver us because that's our only hope. We put our faith in you, and we pray that this message that go out is a lifting to some people, Lord. Sometimes the truth is a little hard to swallow, but we ask that we only put truth out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate that. Yeah, a lot of stuff going on. I don't know, one of the things that I saw in the news this week, and I thought it was, it's interesting, but you know, there's the go woke, go broke theme that we've talked about a number of times on here. And, you know, one of the last companies to jump on that was Harley Davidson. And, boy, that was bad for business, I guess, is one way to put it. But they put the brakes on that because, boy, people did not like that. And they figured out really quick that that their customer base really wasn't going to support that. I don't know if anybody else saw anything on that, but it was really good. They kind of came to a screeching halt.
Yeah, well, they're having a controversy. Bit. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I seen a little bit on a while back where a $30,000 Harley could be bought for $4,000. I mean, that's all I seen on one thing. But yeah, it ticked a lot of people off. But I guess that's what America needs, you know. With it, their agenda is totally world domination, and they're not going to pull it off.
Yeah.
I mean, when you give up your Bud Light and your Harley, man, you gave up something.
Yeah.
Jack Daniels was also in the same boat over the last few years. They've really been leaning toward these woke policies and all this DEI. They've come full circle. They've dumped all that and said no more because Jack Daniels themselves have seen that you know, drop in sales, just like Bud Light did, but Bud Light didn't change. But Jack Daniels was another one that a major company that was woke enough, and they said, "Nope, we're not going to be woke anymore." And they've dumped a bunch of their policies. And you know, along those lines, there's been a bunch of universities that have dumped the DEI, the diversity, equity, and inclusion, or didn't earn it, as we talk about it. Policies. I think University of Kentucky was the last one, but even the University of Wyoming out here, University of Alabama, Birmingham, California, University of Texas, University of Florida, a lot of the universities, they put all this in within just the last two or three years under the Biden-Harris administration, and they're backing off. They're saying that it's causing more problems than it's ever going to solve. And they're backing off of it as well. So it's encouraging to me, maybe a little bit of sanity out there in the world.
See, and I don't really think it's so much sanity as it is just financial pain. I mean, the issue there is the fact that we'll take the win, obviously. But, you know, the thing that disturbs me is, you know, any management person in that position would say, well, let's see, 1% of our customer base or 0.5% or whatever are these DEI loons. And, you know, they don't even know who they are, and we're worried about trying to get their business. But what they somehow seem to correctly assume is the fact that the rest of their people who buy their products are just going to stand still for them, treating them, you know, like there's, you know, some unwanted stepchild or something evil or bad, and not leave them high and dry. And that's, you know, that's what we've seen there as a result of that. And I think that when we look at all those sort of things, it shows us the morality and the and really, I don't know if anybody else has noticed this, but I've noticed lately, and I don't watch, you know, very much television, but what little I have seen lately here and there, the advertising is just treat their customer base when they're showing them like they're a bunch of idiots. You know, you guys are too stupid to even survive without us, you know, or whatever. And I think that that's the problem, is their opinion of their clients or of their, you know, people who buy their products are so low that they actually think that they can just go out and get away with that kind of stuff. And, of course, it's biting them in the back end, you know. It's one of those things where you were sitting here looking at, you know, and they're like, wait a minute, we are going to go broke, you know. I mean, and my next question is the challenge to people, and God does that through the Bible. Remember, I mean, why would you want those people if they have that much of a wishy-washy set of standards and that low of an opinion of you? Why would you want their products on your shelf? Why would you put your money into that? You know, So, yeah, I think that we need to remember that that's what they did, and that they're only continually, the Bible says they're only continually evil. And I just had a neighbor come in the other day, and he said, well, you know, he said, he was talking to me about some stuff, and I said, well, I said, they're trying to destroy us. And he goes, well, yeah, but I got one question for you. He said, how is it that, you know, that's going to destroy them too? And it's been said on here, but bears saying again. And I said, I realize that, but I said, the issue is you got to understand that they have been trying to utterly and completely destroy everything God created since the Garden of Evil. If the Bible is about from beginning to end about God saving his people, the flip side of that is the Bible's about from the beginning to the end about God's enemies trying to destroy God's people. Otherwise, it wouldn't need saved. You know, so it's kind of a...
Exactly.
Remember what's going on out there.
And I think that that's what it is. We were talking about that the other night. It's like, you know, it's still that, you know, that fight between good and evil. But one of the things that I noticed, too, is people are voting with their dollars. And they're, you know, deciding, you know, hey, do I want to support this company, this product? Do I want to buy this product? Do I want to use this in my house? Or, you know, is it going in the trash? Or am I just not going to buy it again? You know, I was talking with my wife the other day. We got a chuckle out of it because we were talking about another company that, you know, we've used their products for a long time, and they kind of did the same thing, and they came out with this, you know, bunch of garbage gay ad. And my 13-year-old boy, Justice, he seen it, and he was looking at it, and it was on a, I don't know if it was a newspaper or whatever, and he's like, oh, look, Mom, and he showed it, and he's like, well, Dad won't be using that again, and he was right, and it was just, you know, but that's what I see a lot of people doing, is they're voting with their dollars, I mean, and they're saying, deciding, you know, hey, am I going to support this company based on their politics? And it used to be that, you know, these companies, if they wanted your business, they worked on having a good quality product. And, you know, and then it's like, where has things changed where instead of having a good quality product and, you know, having, you know, the best product that you can, having something that's reliable, something that's good. But then they had to bring all the politics into it and push agendas. And, you know, people are saying no. So it's, you know, that's encouraging.
Really very encouraging. The only bond in Washington, D.C. is money. And I'll tell you what, when there's no money, there's no bond at all. So, and that's Washington, D.C. That's your corporate world. Their corporate world is about looking good to their investors and stuff like that. And they manipulate stuff so they look good. Well, this is all falling apart. It's called the fall of Babylon. And that's a wonderful thing, actually. But it said to cut yourself off so you don't go down with it. And I think I'm... said before, I think that mental separation, is largely mental, because we got to deal with this world to some degree every day. And there's people we buy from that are definitely in our channel. But what's really going on here, we're finally finding out we're in a pig pen and we want to go home to the Lord, and because that's where the stability is. But not everybody knows that.
Yeah. And you are right. It is a song of degrees, Paul. I mean, some of us can't. I mean, there's certain things that I have to purchase or whatever, that my choices are very, very limited. You know, I'm always looking for an upgrade or a or a better.
We'd be buying stuff all made in America if we could, but it's, you know, I mean, we're to the point, yes, where it's not possible.
Yeah, yeah. You just don't have. Sometimes it's like, well. So you try to pick the best thing you can for the, you know, opportunities you have available to you. But and pray about the fact that, Lord, we need some different opportunities here. So, and he's going to answer.
Well, kind of switching gears. I know last night I was talking with a couple gentlemen about it last night, and read an article on it that Will sent in this morning, but there was three killed in Germany at a festival last night. And basically, I was talking with a kid that grew up in Germany and reads a lot of news over there. And he was telling me that, you know, basically it's like, oh yeah. I mean, they already know that, you know, it's an immigrant, but they're not allowed to say that it was an immigrant. You know, since then they said that, I think they still said that he hasn't been apprehended or not, but it was at a festival of diversity. And three were killed over there in Germany. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens with that, because a lot of these countries, Britain right now, for instance, it is up in arms over some of the stuff that's been happening with these immigrants. And, you know, there's a lot of people that, I mean, it's, you know, the suppression is real. It is, you know, there's people that are jailed for speaking out against the immigration and selling anti-immigration bumper stickers and merchandise. I mean, a lot of these places, you go to jail for saying stuff like that. And I was talking with him, the same guy. He stopped by and picked up a book from me, and he was looking at some of my books, and he was telling me that, you know, there's books that he's like, if you had this, he was showing me a book that was on my bookshelf, and he said, if you had this in Germany, you would be arrested for it. And a lot of people don't really realize how serious they take some of that stuff over there.
Yeah, just for having a difference of an opinion and speaking out on it. I mean, you can have go to jail for a long time, and it can also affect your. Nowadays, it can even. I was reading something the other day, kind of like that, and one of the things that struck me was they have in China and stuff. They have your cars and your electric and a lot of other things tied into your social credit score. If you say things that are not party line or say things that aren't, you know, PC, your social credit score goes down and your car doesn't work anymore, or your electric doesn't work, you don't have a water heater, you can take cold showers. I mean, it's all based on talk about being able to, or maybe you can't buy particular groceries or get particular groceries. I mean, and there's a lot of these foreign countries that the amount of pressure that comes to bear on people for having any opinion that's not party line is just, it's extreme. I mean, we really don't understand it over here.
Well, and I like how this article puts it. The authorities, however, have remained tight-lipped about the attacker's identity. No one knows who the attacker is, said Herbert Ruhl, interior minister of the region. We should not spread speculations now. There are simply no confirmed facts yet. Even if an eyewitness said this or that, it doesn't mean it's true, he added. Many impressions are influenced by the stress and the shock of the moment. The Festival of Diversity was being held in the city to celebrate its 650th anniversary. It was expected to draw 75,000 people over this weekend with events including music, theater, and acrobatics. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, but you know, if it would have been Hans, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy from the far right over there in Germany, his name would be on the front page right now. And it would that director guy would be saying just the opposite. Oh, we have an eyewitness that Hans did it. And Hans comes from a long line of hard right, anti-immigrant. Well, they would be crucifying the guy if they could, you know, if they even thought they could pin it on a white guy. It would be just the opposite, because we see that here. You know, we've long known when you read a news report, any type that, and they say, either unknown assailants or three youths, and that's all they say. You can bet that they're dark skinned or they're an invader. An illegal, because on the contrary, when it is a Caucasian person, they put the name and the picture and everything else. You know, Bill Franklin or Bill Christopher, Bill McDonoghue here was caught doing this, and there's his name and his picture and everything else. And it's what the enemy does, and it's because you know, when God says, hey, I'm going to get you, he means it. And we go lower and lower. The enemy goes higher and higher.
And you know, Germany also, they're passing all types of pornography stuff, that trying to make it legal, trying to make the,
well, it is legal already, and it has been for a long time. It's not that, it's, that's nothing new. That's been one of the areas where you know, it's been prevalent. I mean, it's all over the place.
Yeah, yeah, saw that report in the news this past week too. Their parliament is, it's just insanity over there. It absolutely is. And as the old Neil Diamond saying, coming to America as fast and furious as it can.
Oh, it's here. It's been, you know, it's just manifesting itself now. I mean, the news media is totally controlled. They said, one of some dude back in 1800s said they had to get control of the news media. Well, they've got control of everything except our hearts. But, yeah, they've got control. I mean, they, you know, I read that book there about the Ukraine. I mean, it just makes you sick to your stomach what they went through. It is, and we just sit here in comfort zone all the time, and it's just, when they, you know, I think it just really hit me when I read that book, that what they went through, they got starved out. Do you know how death is by starvation? It's very slow and very agonizing.
Yeah, and the thing that always, the other takeaway is there was no shortage of food. There was plenty of food for them to eat. It was the politics. It was the evil intent of those people to starve to death. That's what they did. I mean, you know, in this business of we need GMOs, we need all this and that because of shortage of food, it's all just another lie, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, they were farmers. They were farmers. They had been farming since the beginning of time. And, you know, when that Holocaust that communism brought on them, that March brought on them, when that was over, they went back to farming, and they've still been farming. You know, and since then, they've been the breadbasket of Europe, just like they were before then. You're absolutely right, Tim. It wasn't that there wasn't food available. It was that they didn't allow them to have access to the food, and that was the purpose, was to starve out those well-to-do, independent peasant farmers. Boy, that sounds real familiar today, doesn't it?
Yeah, white man bad, brown man good. That's the narrative, no matter what. I like that. Somebody just sent that to me that was listening in. And then I got something else that somebody else, Derek from Canada, he sent in. Said, there's a day coming, and it will be a bloodbath. Ezekiel 39:17-20. And it says, quote, "And thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord, speak unto every feathered fowl and to every beast of the field, assemble yourselves and come, gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that ye may eat flesh and drink blood. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, and of goats, of bullocks, and all of them following of Bashan. And ye shall eat fat till ye be full, and drink blood until ye be drunken of my sacrifice, which I have sacrificed for you. Thus ye shall be filled at my table with horse and chariot, with mighty men, and with all men of war, saith the Lord God." Good scripture. Yeah, it's coming, and there's, you know, people are waking up, and that's what is exciting. I mean, and it's, you know, I mean, we know that there's a remnant, and, you know, we're not talking about, you know, I mean, we tend to say, you know, they're doing this and they're doing that, and, you know, we are doomed. But, you know, I mean, I'm not going to claim that we are doomed. I think that, you know, in the midst of everything that's going on, it's like, you know, You've heard me say it over and over and over, and I've tried to say it on every program, but I am being blessed and I am prospering. I'm not being brought down lower and lower. If you want to claim that, that's, you know, more power to you. If you want to do that, that's what you're welcome to, but I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going to claim that, because I'm rising higher and higher, and I'm not going to be a part of that is being brought down lower and lower. They're trying to do it. They're trying their darndest. But God is in control, and my God is greater than they are. And greater are the forces that are for me than the forces that are against me.
Amen. Yeah, we have God is calling us to him. And he says, "The sheep of my pasture hear my voice." And it's like those sheep of his pasture are like, "We coming." You know, we're on the way. Or we're there. Yeah, so... It's like, God has he's got a plan, and he's got And he's laughing in the heavens about their plans. So it's just like, well, there you go.
Well, and I've been saying, one of the prayers that I've been praying a lot recently, and, you know, continuing to pray Psalms 83 and encourage people to pray in Psalms 83, and we do have that on a Bible bookmark now. So if anybody'd like that, you can email me or write us, and we'll make sure and get that sent out to you. But I think that that's, you know, it's Psalms 83 is a very powerful prayer against the plots of the enemy. And, you know, recently when I've been, when I see things and when I notice things just in passing, I just pray, you know, let them be caught in their plots, you know, because the enemy's plots are, you know, there's so many different, you know, ways, shapes, and forms that they use them, and they set traps and snares, and they're divisive and they're sneaky little bastards. But, you know, I just been praying, you know, let them be caught in their plots, expose them for what they're doing, bring them down, let their plots fail. And, you know, it just, and, you know, just do it. I remember the sermon that Pastor Peters had, and he says, you know, we haven't got a prayer if we don't pray. And, you know, and I think a lot of the times we don't have to have these long, elaborate prayers, but we just lift it and bring it to, you know, bring it to mind of the Heavenly Father. And I know there's people that say that, you know, well, he knows everything already. Well, yeah, he does. But I know for a fact that he appreciates it when we bring things to his throne. And there's a scripture that talks about him being able to judge when it's brought before the throne of the Most High. And I think that that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be fighting. We're supposed to be, you know, soldiers in this battle between good and evil.
Amen.
Amen. I've seen a thing that, you know, that says God will put up with it as long as we will. And I think that holds true in it for a while, and it does. But it's the difference in being in the kingdom of darkness versus repenting and coming out of that and doing what the Bible says, not only believing, but being baptized and repenting and turning away from sin and being in the kingdom of his marvelous light. And then it's like you said, Jason, it's not doom and gloom. It's not, you know, then you move from the diseases of Egypt being poured out upon you. You move to 1,000 falling at one hand and 10,000 at the other, and it doesn't come to you. And what a difference. What a difference. And God desires that. He's ready to fix things when we cry out and ask for it.
Well, I think, you know, we're waiting on God, but I think God's waiting on us. Is what the real issue. He has seemed to stand back and leave his people choose life or choose death and choose the direction in which we're going. But so I really think he's waiting on us more than we're sitting here waiting for him to take over, but he's not going to do it until you stand your ground.
Yep. I think you're right, Paul. I like Psalms 116, 1 and 2. It says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my pleas, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. And, you know, if you call your friend and they never answer and they never talk to you and they never want anything to do with you, it's pretty hard to keep being a friend. You know, you give up after a while. So, God hears our voice. He answers this, you know, and may not always be the way we want it answered, but he always answers us, and things move forward. So I think that's always kind of an encouraging thing. He hears our voice and our pleas.
Yes. Well, and another kind of switching gears, I saw another kind of a win-win. I thought, I don't know if anybody heard about the Kansas court case with the machine gun, and basically the gentleman got, I think it was a grand jury that indicted him on several charges of possession of machine guns. And the judge, basically, they went through everything, and they said that, I'll just read this one. It says, groundbreaking order out of the U.S. District Court of Kansas, a man charged with possession of machine guns had his case dismissed after the court found the plain text of the Second Amendment does not cover the possession of machine guns. The decision by Judge John Brooms hinged on the Bren and Rami requirements to demonstrate historical analogs that prove the ban is consistent with the nation's history. Brooms found that the government hadn't met its burden to prove historical analogs. And, it goes on, but basically it was, he was, I mean, I guess they had him dead to rights. He had him. He was in possession of him. They charged him with him, but they dismissed it. And so that was huge. And I think we're going to see more cases like that in the future also.
Yeah. There's a lot of talk about him turning over the ban in 1968 because shall not infringe, and they tied that back to this historical ownership of you know, weapons in the United States. And it goes back to that citizen soldier thing, but it also goes back to the freedom of just ownership. Shall not infringe, and they tied that back to this historical ownership of you know, weapons in the United States. And it goes back to that citizen soldier thing, but it also goes back to the freedom of just ownership. Shall not the trash that we've got up there in D.C., you know, and of all these things going on. And this stuff's all going on right over here on the side of this going, no, throw that out. No, this is, you know, isn't it? Also goes back to the freedom of just ownership. Shall not the trash that we've got up there in D.C., you know, and of all these things going on. And this stuff's all going on right over here on the side of this going, no, throw that out. No, this is, you know, isn't it a... I'm not depending on them to you know, free me or to protect me, but I just think it's almost comical to watch all that stuff go on and know that God's on the throne and he's working that. Talk about throwing confusion into the ranks of the enemy. There you go.
Well, and I didn't realize until today. I'd been hearing bits and pieces about it, but I was reading this morning and I didn't realize that it was a Glock and a Glock switch that the guy was charged with. And, that's what was interesting. And, you know, people are like, oh, whoa, it's a machine gun or whatever. These Glock switches, I mean, and a Glock switch was basically a piece of, it could be a 3D printed piece of plastic that you could make in your house, or you could buy them on, I mean, they had them on, I looked them up, I never ordered any of them. But I was curious because people were talking about them, and it was a big rave here, I don't know about it, was it about a year ago? Oh, probably longer than that, probably a year and a half, 2 years ago. But you could buy them. I mean, they were selling them on TikTok shops. They were selling them on eBay. They were selling them on, I mean, mail order. And you know, they were a couple of dollars, I think, weren't they, Tim? I mean, weren't they just...
They were really cheap.
They were cheap. I mean, they were selling thousands and thousands of them. I mean, they were selling them all over the place. And that's what, you know... And I mean, that is it a machine? Technically, yeah. Would you want one? No, absolutely not. You know, I've been to.
Yeah, I
tried one at a machine gun shoot one time, and you know, went there. You go to some of these machine gun shoots, and they have a lot of different guns set up, and you can try stuff out just for, you know, you pay them, and you can buy a mag and run a mag through it. And I mean, I always thought that shooting a full auto Glock was about the dumbest thing that that a person would want to do. And but I wanted to try it. I'm like, okay, whatever. There was one there, and I wanted to see it. And no, it's, I mean, completely ineffective and a waste of ammo. It's, you know, ridiculous. Yeah. But you know, people wanted to have it, so but if they prosecute somebody on that, they're going to have to prosecute a lot of people on it.
Exactly. Well, and that's the thing is, it's not about, yeah, well, does it work? Does it not work? It's all about just why not? I mean, and I'm like you, I'm not even a full auto guy personally. I mean, it's like very difficult to hit anything. I mean, there's a whole ton of reasons, but, you know, it isn't any of their business. So, you know, it's they don't have any right to decide those sort of things.
Yeah, and that's what Will said. He said that the judge ruled machine guns are bearable, therefore constitutional.
Yeah.
So that was okay. I didn't see that, but that makes sense.
Did you see that other one on in Kansas too? And I think that you were talking about that one. You were talking about was a guy, right?
Well, I thought it was.
There was a woman. I'm just asking. But there was a woman there in Kansas too, and she was hers was just kicked out too, and she had it was an AM in like 300 Whisper, 300 caliber. But anyway, she had a full auto too, and basically the text reads very similar to that. That was thrown out because of the fact that the judge said no. you know, can't see anything wrong with it. She had an AM-15 in Anderson Manufacturing, in 300 caliber. But that's all it says. So, you know, don't blame me. It doesn't quite make great sense to me, but I don't know what the equipment was. But, you know, he threw it out and said, so long as it's lawfully possessed by someone before the relevant date, 86, they were allowed to own guns. So we do have a history. And he said, it's not unusual. So he threw it out. So there's another one for you. I mean, that's like, okay. And there's a lot of stuff going on there that's interesting.
But, you know, you guys are talking about frivolous crap is what you're talking about, because it don't matter how many bullets that gun holds, it says thou shall not kill. Just like the worst issue, thou shall not murder. You know, we get in these side arguments that don't make no difference. And if you would punish crime God's way, it would take care of all of this. You know, there's going to be a difference of opinion wherever you go, and plenty of them. And the thing is, did he kill him or didn't it? Was it premeditated or was it accidental? I mean, you know, the scripture lays it out how to do it. And if we would just put God back on the throne and punish crime God's way, all this stuff goes away.
Yeah,
I bet you there's a difference between us on some things, not much, of us four guys. I mean, to some degree, I mean, you're going to find some difference of opinion no matter what. And that's okay. Did he kill him or didn't he? Was it premeditated?
Are we going to stone him or are we going to hang him?
Yep, so.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we get so caught up in his reasoning. We think we can reason with people. Well, God said, dust your shoes and walk. And there's plenty of that time that is really important. Because you can't argue with a fool, you'll become a fool.
Yeah. Well, it says that, you know, upbraiding a foolish man is dangerous because they'll, you know, and they don't take the instruction, they come after you. And we see that every day in real life going around all over the place. And we've got a lot of that going on all around us. It's like, wow. So, but it is interesting. And, you know, everybody, when they start waking up, doesn't always understand the bigger picture. So sometimes the knee-jerk reaction is to be kind of reactive and do something different. And but it is interesting. And, you know, everybody, when they start waking up, doesn't always understand the bigger picture. So sometimes the knee-jerk reaction is to be kind of reactive and do something different. And but it's,
you know, the facade.
And, you know, everybody, when they start waking up, doesn't always understand the bigger picture. So sometimes the knee-jerk reaction is to be kind of reactive and do something different. And but it's,
you know, the sacrifices that we've made in, you know, our personal lives and in our social lives, and, you know, it's the price that's been paid for, you know, the people that we followed and the sacrifices that they made in their lives. And, you know, there's been a lot of sacrifice to get us to where we're at. That's for sure.
Yes, it definitely has been. You know, Pastor Peter was more than willing to tell the truth, and very few people wanted it, you know. So, I mean, that was just one example, and all the other people that were murdered. So, yeah, there's a price to be paid.
Paul, I don't know, we haven't talked to you recently, but I did talk to a couple people locally, and it's interesting about talking about the gardening side of things. A lot of people have very good, healthy-looking plants. And I mean, talking to people, that, you know, that I've looked up to as good gardeners for a long time. I was talking with Gene, a friend of me and Tim's, who lives not too far from, me, and he travels back and forth between, Colorado, Wyoming, and Nebraska quite a bit. And, I was asking him about his garden, and he was just telling me about how he has having this, you know, he had all these plants. He had pepper plants, he had tomato plants, everything looked absolutely just, you know, phenomenal. But they were, you know, they looked healthy, but they were small and they weren't producing any fruit. And, I've been hearing that a lot. A lot of it in this area, a lot of it in Nebraska, a lot of it in, you know, it seems like it's going like almost following like I-80, straight across I-80 across the United States. A lot of people having the same exact problems. Have you heard that? Are you noticing that up in Michigan?
Well, I know what I do. It doesn't work like it used to. I know there's something going on in nature. You know, and this is probably the fallacy of regenerative agriculture. We have forgotten God's ways. We're doing all this, and very seldom is God's plan brought into it, you know, as far as land Sabbath and all this stuff. And we are not going to know, you know, we're not going to pull none of this off without his blessing, because even, you see, we, you know, like you said before, you thought you did everything right. Well, maybe we don't know exactly what is right.
And, right.
Yes, there's something going on. There's something going on in nature, and I think God's going to make a fool out of organic farmers yet before this is over. Although they have good hearts, there's more to learn. And, you know, the types of seed, our seeds have been messed with so much that we don't even know if it's genetically true. So there's other stuff, you know, to think about when you think a little deeper. I haven't really thought about it yet. Since I talked to you that time, we did talk about it. But our seeds are genetically altered. You know, if a watermelon is seedless, that has been altered dramatically, probably taking the manganese out of it, and that's why it won't, set back seeds and stuff like that. And there's people that know how to do all this stuff. And so we don't exactly know what our seed is made out of either. I think that's my opinion, and that's all it is.
Yeah, and is it possible that it could it be... and I'm just throwing this out, but could it be a year of jubilees or something like that, where people haven't honored the land Sabbath, and that God's just giving them a break?
It certainly is. We don't, you know, there's always God's hand in this and stuff like that, and we have to consider that. Because we want to, you know, farm right through our land Sabbath and everything. Even I'm guilty of that to some degree. We've had a hay crop up here that just, we don't know where to go with the hay. There's so much of it, and it just keeps coming. It's just hay everywhere. I mean, it's just phenomenal how much it is. But there's something going on in nature, and God will have the last word.
Well, they said the same thing in South Texas. Small potatoes, small peppers, all nightshade variants. And, I've had people, and I tell you what, I had some pepper plants that looked just, I mean, absolutely phenomenal. Some tomato plants that looked, just beautiful. And I mean, I tested the soil, I tested the water, I tested the, you know, Bricks numbers, trying to figure out, I mean, if I'm like, okay, I'm missing something. It's something simple. And, you know, we got grasshoppers that are, you know, we had a grasshopper hatch not too long ago, and, you know, normally we get the turkeys, and they come through here, and they pretty much wipe out the grasshoppers. Haven't seen the turkeys in a while, so there's a lot of grasshoppers. And I can tell the plants are healthy because the grasshoppers don't want to touch them. And, I mean, I can tell when I've had unhealthy plants in the past, the grasshoppers just come in and devour them. And I mean, it's just mind-boggling. It's like, you know, what have I been doing wrong, or how am I doing it wrong? But then I made some phone calls, and I'm talking to people, and they're telling me the exact same thing. It's like, Jason, you're describing my garden to me, and I don't know. I've been doing this for 40 years, and I have no idea, you know, what is wrong. And, I mean, it's the same story over and over. Just interesting, very interesting. So it's like, you know, me and my wife were talking, and it's like, okay, well, I guess we're just going to kind of, maybe we shift some gears and use the freeze dryer and the dehydrator more, and, you know, maybe have to shoot some more wildlife.
Well, you know, fruit don't have to be big to be good.
Right.
I used to go hunting up on North Manitou Island. I go to Harvest Health and buy a loaf of bread. It was sprouted bread. I don't know. It was made up in Minnesota. And I was, you know, young and climbing trees and everything, and I took a loaf of that bread with me to the island, because he had a camp for a week, and, you know, and they dropped it off on a boat. But I'll tell you what, I could not eat two slices of that bread, and I was full. It was just nutrient dense is what it is, and it don't have to be big to be good. A cow don't need a big udder to give a lot of milk either, you know. Big isn't necessary, but I don't have an answer to what you're saying, but I do know that God is in control, and he's going to put us on our knees before this is over.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I was talking go ahead.
Even like Scriptures for America, you know, we know the light and stuff like that, but if God pours us the Holy Spirit out on all these people that are good-hearted people that are just stupid, you know, we know the truth and stuff like that. But sometimes we get a little arrogant over that, too, that we do know it. And then look at people that are foolish, and we have to have a good attitude about this whole thing, too.
Amen. I agree. Paul, why don't you explain a little bit about the land Sabbath? I've had people that I had somebody ask me about that the other day, and they wanted to know your thoughts on that and what you recommended.
Well, it's in Scripture, and I don't know anything about it that the Scripture don't say, and it's not being practiced. See, our whole economic thing, even the national debt, has just accumulated problem with not keeping the land Sabbath, because we're supposed to unload debt, everything like that. And then we have, you know, even up in, you know, I read them people in the Ukraine, they weren't big farmers. They were just good. They just had nice families. They had everything. They had enough stored for the winter. They didn't have to work, and they just had a really good life, and they're very productive. And but now we've got to pay interest on everything, and it's just accumulating and strangling us. So it is bigger than land, but the land is, you know, land will heal itself. You stand back, you know, I've been reading a lot of books on agriculture. One of the biggest problems with agriculture is excesses. You go old, and farmers do it. They go put nitrogen, potassium on because it's erratic. You can see it, but it's very destructive for the big picture. But if you let a field go, first of all, I've seen fields go from being productive to thorn bushes, which actually protect everything, and then the deciduous trees grow up through it. Now the thorn bushes are gone, in it, but the land will heal itself if you leave it alone. And I think that's a big part of it. And then I've read seeds are very destructive too. You know, Leviticus 19:90, plant your seeds without mingled seeds. Now I think that to be a non-hybrid myself, but I'm not positive. But this hybridization, land breeding and stuff, we get to thinking worse than God. And, well, you know, years ago I raised some open-pollinated corn. And my dad said, well, it's going to fall down. It was just beautiful corn. The first year was about a foot and a half long, hit me in the forehead, and the one above, next one was above that. Well, one day the whole field laid down, just like he said. But see, because he's seen going from that kind of corn to hybridization, he was so glad it didn't fall down. You know, but this is how we got in this mess, and we got a long ways to go. But I'm just telling you, the land will heal itself if you leave it alone, and it's very important. You know, can you imagine? I think I read where when they did it God's way, they only worked like 26 weeks a year, and they lived great. And if you go to the book of Acts, too, they did it God's way, and they didn't know what to do with their money. So, God's way is very, very, it's a really good Social Security thing.
Well, and I've talked to people that, so, I mean, and people have do it different ways, but I think every seventh year it's supposed to have a rest. So I know some people are trying to figure out what, you know, what year that's supposed to be. I know some people that garden for, you know, they'll garden for 6 years, and then seventh year they just let the whole thing rest. And then there's other people that have it broken down into sections where they'll garden a certain or they'll leave a certain section and not do anything with it every year, and they just switch that section over. And I don't know, I don't think that there's anything wrong with doing it that way either, do you?
Well, but it ain't the way it's supposed to be done, because he said Jubilee is a Jubilee. And so, yeah, I think that I've done it myself, you know, but it's hard to know. But with this economic system the way it is, and all the money that it takes to pay everything, See, this is why farmers farm from what they call a fence row to fence row, because they get the bank in there, and they have to produce to pay, they make that payment, and bondage is what it amounts to.
Absolutely.
Interesting. Yeah, and I agree. And I've talked to people that in the past they've let stuff rest, and then they've on the seventh year, and they've kept track of how many years that they've been doing potatoes or corn, and then they've wanted to let it rest for a year, and then they've had years where it's like, well, I can't afford to let it rest this year, and they would go ahead and decide to farm it. And I've seen that be a disaster as well.
Well, you know, years ago I had a farmer, for some reason he did crop rotation, he couldn't get a crop planted. So he didn't raise anything. He had a yield monitor on his combine. And the next year, his yield was it actually made up for the what he lost. He didn't really lose anything. And then he didn't know anything about this, but I observed that, and it just proved that Atlanta Sabbath will work. I listened to a sermon of Pastor Peters that he thought 2008 was a jubilee. Was that an economic downturn at that time? It went down sometime.
Yeah, it was 2007, 2008, yeah.
Well, he said that on one of his sermons, he thought that that was a jubilee year. You know, I don't know if it was or wasn't, but it's a very
I don't know one. Either. And I've wondered that. I've wondered the same thing, and it's like, how do you figure it out? And I've looked at, and I've read a lot of stuff from people that have tried to, you know, tell me what year is a jubilee's year and this and that, and I couldn't figure it out, and I couldn't follow it. And basically, I think that there's a lot of speculation. I think that you can. It was like horseshoes and hand grenades.
Well, you know, Hopkins, War Cycles, Peace Cycles, he was on that too. And I remember up in Wisconsin, he said this should have happened 15 years ago and it's still going off track. So, but let me read 2 Chronicles 21. Let's see what chapter. 36, 21. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to full 70 years. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but I'm thinking this land in America is going to get a Sabbath. And that's just my take on it, because, you know, they got, you know, he shut the country down until he got a Sabbath. So he's going to catch up somehow.
Yeah, good point. Well, we are just about out of time. I got another text, and I did not know this. RFK Jr., I did know that RFK Jr. dropped out yesterday. He did endorse Trump on stage with Trump last evening in Arizona at a rally. He spoke and said that he was going to work with Trump to end Big Ag and Big Pharma. That's pretty powerful to be said on a national stage.
It is. You know, there's a big farmer here too. Big, and he tiled a field and stuff like that. And then any government comes and says that's a wetland, they had to tear it all out. Now I know a little guy that told me this. Well, if they would go after him, they'll come after me too. But I mean, Big A is in God's crosshairs. Big A is, you know, there's a guy here who bought up all kinds of land. He wants my mine too, and. The reason he got him because people didn't keep the Sabbath, so he's accumulated this, but he didn't do anything any better, so he's going to lose it too, in my opinion.
Yes.
Right. And Jason, I think also that shows when, you know, the Kennedys have been in politics since World War II, since before then, actually. But they have been, that Kennedy name has been associated with Democrat forever. And you got him that he is blasting the Democrat Party, saying that they have changed. And so you got, you know, again, I think it shows the turmoil, that the chaos that's in the enemy's camp, that's in that Babylon today. Like Egypt, we have a Pharaoh, a government that knows not Joseph and knows not Joseph's God. And everybody is pointing it out. Not just the Republicans, but the Democrats as well.
Well, back in the 50s and 60s, the Democratic Party is not what it is today, because I read some stuff they stood for and were absolutely accurate. And so that wasn't that. And, you know, John Kennedy got killed because he was going to put a cap on the oil production. He was going to pull the people out of Vietnam. And anyway, they shot him because he was going to mess some people's financial stuff up bad. So, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. So who it is, what it is, I don't know. You know, if people want to talk about Trump and this woman running today, I said, forget Trump. Well, you going to elect a treasonous woman that has undermined America? And, you know, forget if you like Trump or not. No, that's not the issue. And, I mean, this lady is full of treason, and she came from a long line of it.
Amen. All right, we are out of time, gentlemen. I want to thank you for being here this morning, and Tim, you got any closing thoughts this morning?
Just the world. Got him on the run. So we're doing good. I mean, yeah, it's like, I just, I'm just happy to be here, Lord. That's what I. That's my closing thought. So,
amen. Well, I just want people. I want to close out. I want people to be positive. I want them to smile at the future. The Lord is in control, and you know, the remnant is rising higher and higher, and He's using us. He's answering our prayers, and I want people to continue to pray that Psalms 83 and write to us. Shoot me an email. If you want that bookmark, Psalms 83, we'll get it in the mail to you. Thank you, Remnant, for all that you do, and we do appreciate you, and we appreciate your prayers, your tithes, your support. That makes all of our efforts possible here at Scriptures for America, and God bless you for that.
Scriptures for America has a number of resources available for use by His people. Preachers or Pimps is a booklet, CD, and DVD set created by Pastor Peters. Pastor Peter J. Peters preached on the abhorring that has gone on in the church pulpits of America. Are the preachers in the churches of...